good? Hallelujah. You know, there's not every time I get an opportunity. I'm thankful for today, you know. I praise God every day, and I'm thankful for every message. But today I get to speak about the goodness of God, and I just love him so much. I don't know, has God been good to anybody in the room here? Amen. I'm so grateful for his goodness, man. You know, he's been good to me, even in the midst of adversity. He's always there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always just as close as the call of his name, you know. And I was thinking about that. And if God is good and we have the good God in us, so the goodness of God ought to be reflected in our lives. Amen. Because what's in us comes out and through us. Amen. So open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Yes, you can have your Bibles today. And if you're not acquainted with searching the scriptures and looking and you have problems, just write down the scripture. It's okay. We're not here to say who can look in the Bible the fastest or whatever. I have a period of time that I tried to get the message in for the sake of the teachers and stuff with the students downstairs. And so that everybody, so we can give God time to show off. Amen? Amen. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to begin to read with verse number 8. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord," Paul said, "nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who have saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own power and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is wrought in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us." And that's where I want to focus our attention today, on verse number 14, which says that good thing, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost that dwelleth in thee. All right? So let's lift a word and let's make a declaration together here in the house of God. Repeat after me and say, "I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen." Father, we're so grateful today for your word. We're thankful for your grace, your mercy, and your love. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you speak through me today. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring life to the hearers in the room. May they be built up, may they be encouraged, and may they be comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all was said and done, all glory and honor and praise will be unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're going to accomplish in this place today. And we'll never cease to give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the title of this morning's message is, "It's a Good Thing." Amen. And we're going to look at the good gospel, the good gifts, and the good guard. okay? And that's out of this text today. But first, Paul said to his student Timothy, he said, that good thing. And that good thing is the good news, the good news of the gospel, the good news of the word of God. Amen? So turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Verse number 16. For the word of God says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But he says in verse 17, he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. By faith it begins, by faith it runs, and by faith it is finished. Jesus said, God's word declares in Hebrews 11, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe he is, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So the gospel isn't about just coming to know Jesus. The gospel is knowing him, abiding in him, and finishing in him. You know, he is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. We talk about it and we say, he that's begun a good work is faithful to see it through to completion. Each and every one of us are in a process of being transformed. We go from glory to glory and we're transformed into the image of Christ. You know, we haven't arrived yet. We're all on a journey. Is anybody on a journey with me? Hallelujah. So we're taking this journey together. But Paul says that good thing, good news, man, that good news of the gospel. Amen. I know in the world that we live in today, they can surely stand to hear some good news. I don't know, you don't have to turn on the TV or look in the newspaper too long to see some awful things that are taking place in the world. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I like hearing something good. Amen. I heard some good news yesterday, but I ain't sharing it. Hallelujah. Amen. It was good news, though. You have to wonder what it is. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Word of God says in verse number 8, the Apostle Paul says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith in love, and the helmet, the hope of salvation. Faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay? Amen? We're putting on the breastplate of faith. We've got the shield of faith that protects our heart and protects our lives. Amen? That's a good thing. You know, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy, chapter 2, for this is good, in verse 3 it says, for it is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? That God's desire, the Word of God says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, like some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. God doesn't want to lose anyone. You know, I was reminded this morning, or maybe it was last night, in Psalms 34:8, it says, taste and see that the Lord ain't good, that the Lord is good. Amen. Blessed is he that trusts in him. Amen. In other words, we serve a good God. We serve a good God that loves us, that's provided a way for you and I. Amen? Amen? Whatever the adversary tried to steal, God's coming back and bringing back to restore. Amen? I don't care if something took place when you were a child. There is nothing you can do with the things that happened as a child. But by the Spirit of God and the Spirit of His love, He'll go into that area and he'll minister healing and forgiveness. And once you have healing, then everything changes in your life. Amen. The adversary uses as unforgiveness and hurt in life as a root to destroy you. But God's come to give life in the abundance thereof. Amen. In other words, what I'm saying this, the good news of the gospel isn't just being saved and going to heaven. The good news of gospel is we live in the life and we have the abundance thereof. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus paid the price for you and I to have victory. That we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. That we can do all things through him. Amen. We seek him first and his righteousness and all these other things are added to us. Amen. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty good. Amen. And when we have this revelation and understanding, when the adversary comes to attack you, you have a smile on your face because you know greater is the one in you. Amen. Amen. Don't let the adversary steal your joy. Don't let the adversary steal your peace. Don't let the adversary steal your health. Don't let them steal your well-being. Amen. Hey, because greater is the one that's got your back and has got your front and got your side and that's inside of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, in John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse number 12, Jesus said this. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. When I look at this, so many times we want to look at miracles and signs and wonders, and miracles and signs and wonders are great. But let me tell you something, the greatest miracle was when God came into my heart and saved my soul. Amen. The greatest miracle is when God put his spirit within me. The greatest miracle is when he gives us power over darkness and over the adversary. You know, and God says, hey, it's not greater in magnitude, it's greater in multitude because Christ is in everyone in the room. Amen. God says, hey, there's something about that good thing. There's something about that good thing. We've got the good word. We got the good gospel. We serve a good, good, good God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know what this is supposed to be like, a Holy Ghost pep rally. Amen. God wants to encourage you. God wants to lift your spirits. God wants to lift your countenance. Because I know some of you are going through some things and you don't understand why you're going through it. But God says, it's all going to work together for my glory. Hold on. Hold on. Don't give up. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. I will see you through. Amen. He said, the trial of your faith brings patience, patience, experience, experience, hope. And the hope is not going to make you ashamed because the love of God is going to be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, you got that good thing. Amen. It's a good thing. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a good thing. Amen. It's a good thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Secondly, Paul said to his student Timothy, that good thing that was committed to your trust. In other words, this speaks about the gift that was given you and I. And the Word of God says, turn with me in James chapter 1. Secondly, we're looking at the good gift. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse number 16, excuse me. He says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You know, we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, everything becomes new. Amen. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. The perfect gift is Christ Jesus. Christ was the perfect gift that was given for you and I. Amen. He purchased our salvation. He paid for our sins. His body took care of our sicknesses and our disease. Hallelujah. But he says to you, he said to his student Timothy, he said, that good thing that is committed to you, thy trust. And when I was looking at that, the Father started speaking to me about being a steward of what God has trusted us with. Amen. No matter what you have, God has allowed you to have it. And we're to be good stewards of what he has trusted us with. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the Word of God says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Why don't we go with verse 1? Let's go with verse number 1. Are you there first? We'll go with verse number 1. Let a man so account of us, you and I, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Amen. You know, the things of God are foolish to the world because they're spiritually discerned. And we have the Spirit, so we're to reveal the mysteries to a lost and dying world. God has committed that to our trust. That God has committed it to us. That's why he says it's required that we be found faithful. Matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 4, the Apostle Peter puts it like this. Verse number 10. He says this, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In other words, what God is saying this, here's what he's saying. Everyone has gifts. God has given everyone in the room gifts. He's not only given you the gift of salvation, but he's imparted a gift in you for the body of Christ. Amen? And when you don't operate in your gift and you try to operate in someone else's gift, you don't bring any glory to God because it wasn't your gift to operate in. And so many times people operate in gifts that aren't theirs. And God doesn't receive glory. The ability that God gave you, whatever it is, whether it's in the spirit realm or whether it's in the natural realm, you're to glorify God in it. You're to bring the glory. If you're an accountant and you're the accountant and you're the best accountant, you're only an accountant because God allowed you to be an accountant. So as you be an accountant, you glorify God and what he gave you. Amen. So it's not only in the house, but at the same time, Jesus said this. Listen to me. Jesus said this in Matthew 25. He talked about the talents. He said he gave 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. The five put his talents to work or his gifts to work, and he doubled it, and he gave them 10. The two put his talents to work, and he doubled it, and he gave them 4. The one didn't put his to work, and he divided it by 1, and he had 0. And he gave the 1 to the one that had 10. He said, much given, much required. Yeah. Amen. Because he was being faithful. Yeah. But the Bible says he cast that unfaithful servant into outer darkness. Wow. Amen. In other words, what God wants you and I to understand something. What God has given you and I isn't for our benefit. We're talking about gifts. It's for the benefit of others.
Right. Come on.
God has blessed you and I to be a blessing. Yeah. God has given you and I. Give and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. So what God is saying, what he's given you and I, when we bless others with it, we bring him glory. Amen. And the apostle says to his student Timothy, he says this in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says, O Timothy, verse number 20. keep that which is committed to thy trust. Don't let anybody steal it. Don't let anybody take it from you. Amen. God imparted. The call of God is irrevocable, and it doesn't change. He's called you for a purpose and called you and I with a plan. But he says this, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. And what he's telling us as the body of Christ, be so careful about those that sow strife and discord. In other words, let's try to find something we can disagree on. In other words, let me say this to you. Let's say this. We'll probably never agree on everything until we get to heaven. But we can disagree in love. And what love doesn't do, it doesn't beat down his brother or his sister. Amen. Amen. We know that every time there's strife and discord in the body, it comes from the adversary. Yeah. God is not the sower of chaos and confusion. God's a God that does things decently in order. In other words, we're to let mercy. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and long-suffering. Amen. Amen. So we're not to feed the adversary. We're to put him out. We're to stop those things and stop those words that are tearing down instead of building up. Let's be encouragers and builders of one another. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying to his student. Hey, that good thing, that word of God, that gospel. You know, so many times we think that the gospel is just the 5 points of salvation or whatever. No, the gospel is Genesis to Revelations and everything in between. The gospel is Jesus being flesh, dwelling among us. The gospel is the word being spoken. It's the word of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, so we all come in the unity of faith. Hallelujah. That's what the word's about. That's the beautiful gospel. It's some good gifts that God gave you and I. Amen. Amen. And you may not have the gift that the one next to you, but everybody's got a gift. In other words, and if you covet another man's gift, if you covet that gift, you seek God for that gift, what God will say first is, what are you doing with the gift I gave you? You put that gift to work and I'll give you more. How many know that we can't outgive God? Amen. He gives exceedingly abundantly above. Amen. That's right. Can't even imagine. You know, I love that song. I can only imagine what it will be like. Amen. And God gives us a heavenly vision, and we can only imagine. And if we catch that vision, we don't get caught up in the stuff that is going on in the meanwhile. Amen. He says, that good thing that I've committed to thy trust, keep by the Holy Ghost that dwells in you. Now, when I looked at the Holy Ghost, I like to follow letters so people can remember. The Holy Ghost is my guard. He's my protector. Amen. How many knows that the Holy Ghost is inside of you to help you and to protect you? Turn me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. Verse number 3. The word of God says this. It says, blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Amen. Amen. I thank God for the keeper. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank God that he's given God in us the hope of glory. Amen. Amen. I thank him for the good old referee, the umpire. Everybody know what an umpire does? He blows a whistle. when you commit a foul, but there's something about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit blows the whistle before you commit the foul. Amen. In other words, there's something inside of us where we know it's right or we know it's wrong. Amen. I had that the other day with ice cream sandwiches. Four of them. And the Lord said two. And said two is good. I have one for each hand. I got to learn to eat with my feet. But here I come, and I go to the freezer, right? And the Lord's already told me, no, I already know that, but I'm being rebellious. My flesh is coming in. Anybody got any flesh in here besides me? Huh? All right, my flesh is coming in. And I'm asking the Lord to forgive me before I ate those sandwiches. And the Lord just asked me, he says, why are you asking me to forgive you when you're going to do it anyway?
Yeah, come on now.
Hello? And then afterwards, you know, I was feeling all bloated and all, oh, Lord, help me. And you know what he did? He showed me a picture of the kitchen. He showed me the two ice cream sandwiches. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. So he says to you and I, in Ezekiel chapter 36, he says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, I confessed my faults before you, because it says, confess your faults one to another, and the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So y'all can pray for me. That pastor you gave us, Lord. No, what it shows you is your pastor deals with flesh just like you deal with flesh, and you might not deal with him with ice cream sandwiches. It may be alcohol. It may be drugs. It may be pornography. It may be other areas in your other areas, and we're all dealing with areas in our lives. And the Father wants us to know that he's given us a helper, that he's given us an advocate to help us. And believe me, I had to repent, okay? I tried to repent before, but the Lord wouldn't let me repent before because he said, you're going to go ahead and commit the sin. So if I'm going to commit the sin or continue to commit the sin, it's not truly repentance. The repentance would have been and say, Lord, I repent, and I put them back in the freezer instead of putting them in my mouth. All right? Well, Pastor, I thought you were holier than that. No, we just serve someone that's holier. Hallelujah. So look with me in Romans chapter 8. We're talking about the good guard that's in us. Also, just for everybody's information, in the Gospels of John, the Word of God says, if you say you have no sin, then you're a liar and the truth isn't in you. All right? So what God is saying is everyone in the room is dealing with something somewhere. All right? We're all in this together. Nobody has arrived yet, okay? When the trumpet sounds, we shall arrive, but we haven't arrived yet. We're all on a journey, but we're on a journey together. So we're not judging one another, you know? We're here to help you, to build you up, to encourage you, amen? That, hey, that we all sin some way, and some sound differently, and, you know, now that I made it vocal between here and brought it out in the open and made it public knowledge, y'all just say, Pastor, how you doing on the sandwiches, huh? Hallelujah. But in Romans 8, verse number 9, the Lord is reminding us, but we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in us. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, it isn't just spiritual, it manifests itself in the natural. Amen? When we get to the ice, I'm back in the ice cream sandwiches again. Okay, because I hadn't eaten ice cream sandwiches for a long time, and my wife was down on vacation at my vacation. I was watching grandchildren, and it was a vacation at Virginia Beach, and they had ice cream sandwiches, and I ate some, and I liked it. Amen. So this week, and as I was abusing ice cream sandwiches, my wife went to buy me ice cream sandwiches, and she went into Food Lion. And just this is how the devil works. He's trying to multiply the bait. Okay, for a box of 12, it was $5.69. For two boxes, it was $5. Jackie comes out and says, there's two boxes. You know, one box was $5.69, but two boxes I got for $5. So pray for me. Huh? The grandkids eat them. The grandkids eat them. Everybody come to the house for a sandwich. Hallelujah. Turn me to 1 John for a minute. I just wanted to share one last thing before we close about the good spirit that dwells in us, the guard. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, the Word of God says this. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, are not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now move on down to verse number 26. And the Word of God says this. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He says this, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. This anointing is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things in his truth, and is not a lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. In other words, what he is saying is, the Holy Spirit will tell you what's the truth. In other words, I knew before I ever ate those sandwiches, even though I was a rebel, I knew that I wasn't supposed to do it. That's how rebellious our flesh is. And God wants you to know, it isn't that you don't need anybody to teach you. God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That doesn't mean that you don't have anybody to teach you, but the Holy Spirit teaches us what's right and what's wrong. If you read in the context, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about knowing the difference between what's right, what's from God, and what's from Satan. And the Holy Spirit will never align and say it's okay. And even after I ate those sandwiches, God didn't say it was okay. Amen. And there was a payment that came for it. I can declare God all I want. But he said, I broke his word, and I abused my body, and abused my body, there was a result. Amen. God wants us to understand. He gives us wisdom. He guides us and directs us. Some of the things that happen in our life is because of seeds we sowed and doors that we opened up. And what we do is then we blame God. But if I went to blame God, he said, son, did I not tell you? Did I not warn you?
of the Lord.
But he says this, and I want to finish up with this. And he says in verse 28, he says, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. It isn't just that. I just can't say, well, I'm the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is being manifested through my life. In other words, it's what's inside of me that's being manifested on the outside. Amen. We're righteous when we show off Jesus and a transformed life, bringing him glory by our actions and what we do. Amen. And yeah, we are the righteousness of Jesus. And yes, Jesus paid the price on the cross of Calvary. And yes, Jesus delivered you from your sin. Yes, he forgave your sin and removed it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. But he said, I gave you a helper. I gave you an advocate. I gave you one inside of you to help you be all that I called you to be. Amen. I want my son glorified on this earth. Because I put him in you, the world will see him. That's why he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give the Father all the glory in heaven. Amen. Isn't it awesome that God chose you and I? Before the world was even formed, God chose you. And he chose me to be his children. Man, I don't know about you, but that excites me. Amen. And you know what? There was a time in my life where everyone said, huh, he ain't ever going to follow Jesus like his daddy did. But the Word of God declared that my Father's children and my Father's grandchildren and his great-grandchildren and his great-great-grandchildren belong to him. Amen. And no matter what the adversary is doing, God's going to take them back. It may not look like it right now, but you just keep giving God praise and glory because they belong to him. Amen. They belong to him. What the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn around and he's going to use it for his glory. He says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard. And God's raising a standard for our behalf. Amen. Does that excite you? That excites me. So in closing today, is that the second or third or fourth? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23 says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That good thing, that good gospel, which is committed to us, that good gift of the Holy Ghost, was kept by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in you and I. You know, the Bible says this. He says to you and I, this gift is received by faith. Not of works, it's a gift of God. It's just a matter of making a decision saying, hey, I trust you. I give you my whole life. I give you my heart. And that's what God's saying. He's saying he's just here to offer to whosoever will, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bow your heads and let us pray.